Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. Will Swenson stars as Tick/Mitzi in Broadway's Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. The Tony Award-winning musical, which opened in March of 2011, is ending its current Broadway run at the end of June.
If this world makes you crazy, and you've taken all you can bear, just call me up, because you know I'll be there, and I'll see your true colors shining through. I'll see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show your true colors are beautiful, like a
Will's other Broadway credits include Lestat, 110 in the Shade, and Hair, for which he earned Tony and Drama Desk Award nominations. Earlier this year, the organization Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, or PFLAG, gave Will and his fiancée, actress Audra McDonald, the Straight for Equality in Entertainment Award. I spoke with Will Swenson recently about Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, his other work, and growing up in Utah. Will Swenson, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks very much. I feel like a knight being invited to the Roundtable.
How do you choose your projects? How do you choose what you'll go out on auditions for? Or is it entirely up to you?
It's not entirely up to me. I wish I was at that level. Some folks get to choose everything they do. But you can kind of choose what you audition for, I guess. I'm just kind of one of those scrappy actors who's trying to, you know, make enough money to pay for my kids' shoes.
And you've been in Priscilla for a little more than a year now. Yeah. And you audition frequently, I would imagine, during the run.
Yeah, you do. I mean, while you're in the run of a show, a Broadway show, you can't do projects that are going to take up too much time. You can do, you know, little spots on TV shows during the day that won't make you, you know, leave for a month or so. But so you do. You audition a lot as an actor, even when you're working.
You've been doing, like I just said, you've been doing the show for over a year. How do you keep it fresh? How does it stay new and fun every night?
It can be tricky. You know, we had an out-of-town with this show that was 3 months as well, so we've done the thing over 500 times now, and I guess you just develop little tricks to kind of keep it new. You sometimes have different folks in the audience, and maybe you think, oh, I'm going to perform for them. You know, you just try to make different decisions every night. As someone who I really respect once said, just turn left instead of right, and, you know, make a different decision than the one you normally make, and that tends to kind of keep you on a different path and so that you're sort of discovering new stuff.
Had you ever done drag before doing this show?
No. No, it's a new thing for me. And it's a wild experience.
I spoke with Tony Sheldon, and he says that he gets terrible cramps in his calves from the heels. Are the heels a challenge?
Yeah, they are. It's not just heels as much as heels that are also gigantic platform shoes. So they're really heavy. And you know, then we have big headdresses on our heads that are, you know, up to like 10, 15 pounds. And so our necks get really sore. So it takes its toll definitely on the body.
You grew up in Utah. Are there a lot of theatrical opportunities? I don't mean, like, I'm not from New York City, so I'm from New York State. I don't mean to be an elitist about the Midwest. I'm not. But are there a lot of opportunities to train and learn to act out there?
Yeah, actually, Utah's got an amazing talent pool. I've spoken to quite a few casting directors who just, when I say I'm from Utah, they're like, boy, I'm just consistently amazed at the talent that comes out of Utah. And I'm not sure why that is. It could be just Mormon families tend to kind of put their kids into piano lessons and dance lessons and that kind of thing. And there's just a great, you know, there's a good culture of appreciation for the arts in the Mormon community. So, yeah, there's a lot of talent and a lot of theater out in Utah.
When did you know you wanted to pursue performing?
Oh, when I was really young. I kind of grew up in a theatrical family. My family runs a theater in Utah. And when I was a kid, I went to a touring production of Annie. And I think it might have been The Hard Knock Life or something. I was maybe 7 or 8, and I looked at my mom and I said, I want to be in this show. And she said, oh, you just want to be surrounded by women. But I kind of knew at that point, and I've always been interested in it, and had a certain ability to do it. So I'm lucky. I'm kind of, you know, living my dream, to be cheesy about it.
You were raised Mormon, but left the church a while ago. Why did you, if you don't mind my asking, why did you make the decision to leave the Mormon church?
No, it's fine. I mean, it's a long path, this life. I did a lot of reading of about the history of the church, and you know, figured out some things that I didn't necessarily agree with, and had some issues with some of the doctrine that I found a little more, I guess, kind of sexist and racist. And I mean, it's a really long story, and I don't mean to sound harsh about it, because I still have a deep love in my heart for the culture of Mormonism, and my family still, it's very important to them, and I certainly was raised in a beautiful nurturing environment because of the Mormonism, and I just no longer choose to practice it.
And is part of the doctrine that you disagree with their thoughts on homosexuals?
That's definitely on the list. Yeah. Yeah, growing up, my best friend was gay, is still gay, and boy, that was certainly a challenge for him. And I never felt like I was one of those people that felt like he had to kind of attack the church that he left. But when the Proposition 8 stuff kind of shook down, and the Mormon Church took such a prominent role in the fundraising for getting Prop 8 passed originally, I just thought, well, this seems really wrong to me that a religious institution would so aggressively get political. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a country where you're supposed to separate church and state, and it frustrated me. So I'm a pretty outspoken advocate for gay rights, and so I certainly, you know, take issue with the church there, and we're hoping and continuing to kind of work toward the church maybe being a little more open minded about how they handle homosexuality and gay marriage.
Tell me about, if you don't mind, your work with Broadway Impact.
They're just the greatest guys. I had the good fortune of working with Gavin Creel when I did Hair on Broadway. And Gavin's just one of those people who just says, I want to do something. And I want to change the world. And he goes out and does it. And, you know, he might not know what that looks like when he says it. But he just, you know, he's so scrappy and so idealistic that he just... You know, he started this organization with Rory and Jenny. And they started just putting together, you know, rallies and asking their Broadway friends to perform. And just it's taken more and more prominence in the movement. And I know that Broadway Impact and Gavin in particular had a lot to do with gay marriage getting passed last year in New York State. And I've been honored for them to ask me to take part in a few things. And it just feels good to be a part of something that I feel like is the right thing to do.
Speaking of marriage, you know what I'm going to say. You're engaged to the incredible Audra McDonald. Tell us how you met.
In a show, we did the revival of 110 in the Shade on Broadway a few years ago. And I was understudying the lead role, and I got to go on a few times, and we had some sparks fly there. And I don't know, the rest is history, I guess.
You have two sons from a previous relationship, and she has a daughter, and she is currently in Porgy and Bess mm-hmm. on Broadway, and you're in Priscilla. Yep. How do you balance all of that life? Two leads in two Broadway shows plus family.
Oh, you know, we think of it as like an experiment to see if sleep is actually a necessity. It's so hard. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot of work, but at the same time, it's kind of amazing. I mean, we're racing around all day long. I got up at 6:15 today to get my kids to school. And then I discovered just yesterday it was a half day of school. And so they're with me today. They're sitting out in the waiting room.
Oh, no.
I was like, well, why don't you guys come to my interview with me? Since it's a half day, we'll do the interview and then we'll go to a movie. It's just, it's always something new. And I mean, we're so fortunate. We're totally, you know, just really living the dream. Like I said, we're just kitty corner from each other across Times Square. And I finish my Broadway show and I go pick her up from her Broadway show. And it's just, it's, you know, sometimes I look around, I go, what am I doing? This is amazing. But it's amazing and challenging. And the kids bring an amazing dynamic to life, but one that certainly drains all of our energy.
Do the kids get along with each other?
Yeah. That's actually, you know, a big part of how Audra and I kind of got together was our oldest kids. Well, she has a daughter that's 11 and my oldest boy is 11. They're literally like 3 weeks apart in age. And we started doing play dates during 110. And the kids got along super well. So we just kind of started spending more time together. And that was something that helped.
You sometimes direct. You're directing mm-hmm. Facing East. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Oh, this is a great project. It was originally a play written by a great writer named Carolyn Pearson, who's actually an active Mormon still. But her story is kind of amazing. She married a man who was gay and eventually came out, and she wrote about it. and in a novel, and then she wrote this play about a Mormon couple, an older Mormon couple, dealing with the suicide of their gay son. Sadly, the suicide rate in the Mormon community is higher than it should be, higher than the average, because they've just got an institution kind of telling them that they're unnatural and kids are killing themselves. So she wrote this beautiful play that played off Broadway a few years ago, and she adapted it into a screenplay, and we've kind of been tweaking it for the last couple of years, and we've got it in a great spot right now, and we're just starting to put our offers out to our actors, and we'll hopefully shoot it in the fall.
When you direct, do you think that your actor sensibilities are present, or are you able to compartmentalize the two jobs?
Oh, I hope so. My favorite directors I've ever worked with are guys and ladies who have been performers before, because they sort of, you know, I guess, develop a vocabulary. They can maybe more speak your language. That's not always true. There are certainly directors who haven't been actors who are amazing, but hopefully my acting history can help my vision as a director. Although my first feature film, I did both. I kind of starred in it and directed it. And I lost a little bit, I feel like, I lost a little bit of clarity in both of those regards. If I was acting in a scene, I couldn't see it as clearly as if I was just an actor, because I was worried about directing the rest of the scene. And so this time I'm just going to, you know, just be the director.
You mentioned that you were in Hair. Was Hair a special, because it's such a community, family, hippie love-in.
Yeah.
So was that a special experience?
It was amazing. It was like I met this brand new family that I just will have for the rest of my life.
Once upon a looking for Donna time, there was a 16-year-old virgin. Oh, Donna, oh, oh, Donna, oh, 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 looking for my Donna. Just got back from looking for Donna, San Francisco, psychedelic virgin. Oh, Donna, oh, oh, Donna, oh, 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 looking for my Donna. Have you seen my 16-year-old tattoo woman? Heard a story. She got busted for abuse.
When I got the part, I can't even remember who it was. I said, I got hair. And they were like, it'll change your life. And I said, what do you mean? They said, just anyone that's ever done hair, you'll see. You'll be a part of the tribe now. And I thought, well, that's very hippie of you to say.
Right.
But it was absolutely right. I mean, part of it is just in order to put on a believable production of Hair, this group of people has to be so kind of tight and in love with each other and comfortable with each other. I mean, you're just on top of each other the whole time, literally. And you're you know, naked together and singing together, and it takes a whole lot of trust to make that natural. And the group of people that did that show, you know, it was over the course of a long span. We originally did it as a concert in Central Park, and then it was the run of the show the next summer in Central Park. And then we did our Broadway run, and then we went over to London, and we did it on the West End. So, I mean, it was over the course of, and then the tour, a lot of people went out on the tour. I didn't, but a lot of people did, and some people went start to finish all, you know, like 5 years on this show. And it's just a really close-knit family of hippies.
I saw it on tour in Schenectady, and then last summer came back for the Summer of Love at the St. James, and I was like, that's such a smart use of the theater and the show to bring it back for a limited engagement like that.
It was cool. It was cool. I'd never been able to see the show because I'd always been in it, and I was doing Priscilla, and they came back into town and did it. It was amazing to be able to see the show and just think, holy cow, I was a part of that. It was neat.
What has been some of your other personal highlights, your personal favorite work that you've done?
You know, some of it was the smaller stuff. Growing up in a theatrical family, I started early out directing, and one of the favorite things I've ever done was directing a production of Charlie's Aunt. I just was really proud of it and had an amazing time doing it. Doing Pirates of Penzance in college was pretty great. Playing the Pirate King was amazing. Those are the ones that come to mind, I guess.
Will Swenson, thank you very much for taking the time. We'll let you get back to a day with your kids. It was wonderful to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Thanks a lot.
Will Swenson stars in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which is running at the Palace Theater on Broadway in New York City through June 24th. To learn more, visit PriscillaOnBroadway.com.
I've waited my entire life for this. Someone left a cake out in the rain. I don't think that I can take it, because it took so long to bake it.
I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.